This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. Alaska State Troopers have arrested an 18-year-old man for the murder of 10-year-old Ida Gurley Aguchuk in Quinnahawk, according to a written statement Monday from troopers. Jordan Mark is charged with first-degree murder, first-degree sexual abuse of a minor, kidnapping, and evidence tampering. The girl went missing the night of March 15th, and tribal police instituted a nightly curfew to protect the village during the week that followed. Luther Aguchuk Jr., the victim's father, spoke in a phone interview Monday.
We're more relaxed right now because they got that monster off the streets.
The troopers did not release any additional information Monday about the investigation. Aguchuk said his daughter had been playing out with friends as usual that Sunday night, March 15th.
And when she's called to come home, she has to come home. But that night was a whole different story.
Troopers say Ida Aguchuk was reported missing at about 5 p.m. March 16th. A tribal police officer found her body at the village dump more than 2 hours later after a community-wide search. Tribal police secured the scene until troopers arrived. Between the Alaska Bureau of Investigation and Bethel-based troopers, a total of 7 investigators flew to Quinnahawk, an agency spokesman said. Luther Aguchuk said it was difficult for him and everyone else in the community in the days that followed without an arrest.
When you're waiting a little long, it keeps stretching every day. It makes you want to go crazy. It's like it'll make you think the cops are not doing their job, the trooper, the investigators. But then they are doing their job.
Aguchuk said he was not sure specifically what led troopers to arrest Mark. He said he first heard suspicions when a relative of Aguchuk's girlfriend mentioned Mark's name to her while the two women steamed in a steam bath. Aguchuk said troopers were also using swabs to collect DNA from community members. Aguchuk described his daughter as someone who loved her friends and loved playing with her friends. The family has said anyone hoping to honor Ida Gurley Aguchuk's memory wear purple and pink. Next, in municipal news. Tonight, the Bethel City Council will consider adopting an emergency ordinance in response to the coronavirus threat. This emergency ordinance will allow the council to meet telephonically and allows the city manager to cancel or postpone meetings and modify personnel leave time in the interest of public health. The emergency ordinance does not enact any travel restrictions or mandates for residents to stay at home. Many villages in the YK Delta have enacted travel restrictions in order to protect their communities from the threat of COVID-19. Many of those flights to those villages go through Bethel, something Councilmember Mark Springer knows well.
Of course, we have a responsibility to help to protect the villages.
But Bethel won't be enacting any mandates to limit travel or for residents to stay home. That's different from other Alaskan cities like Ketchikan, Juneau, and Anchorage that have all enacted some version of a stay-at-home mandate. Bethel has a new city attorney, Libby Bacalar, who started work for the city last week. Bacalar explained that Bethel has limited powers because it's a second-class city.
So a second-class city is the class of general law municipalities.
Bacalar says what's important right now about being a second-class city is that Bethel doesn't have all the powers of larger cities, boroughs, and municipalities. Bethel doesn't have the power to limit travel or force people to stay home.
I don't see that there's anything wrong with encouraging and recommending that stuff, but I don't think there's police power to enforce that. We don't have legislatively delegated health powers.
Bacalar says the founders of the city made the decision to incorporate Bethel as a second-class city back in the 50s. Changing that would take an application to the state and a vote of Bethel residents, all of which would take at least months.
What would be the best thing to happen here is if we had a statewide order come down that, yes, all businesses have to close, yes, everyone has to hunker down, shelter in place, whatever. And that needs to happen at the governor's level in order for us to really be able to validly enact something like that.
In some ways, Bethel is limited in how it can respond to COVID-19, leaving it at the mercy of how the state or the federal government decides to act. But there are at least 2 drastic actions acting city manager Bill Howell says Bethel could take if the situation gets worse. One is the city could issue a disaster declaration.
The disaster declaration would help us to, obtain financial resources we need for dealing with COVID-19.
He says a disaster declaration would make Bethel eligible for state and federal relief funds. Another thing Bethel could do is activate an emergency operations center.
It would centralize all our command staff to one location, is what it would do effectively.
In the heat of an epidemic, the city could centralize its fire chief, its police chief, and other key personnel in one place to coordinate the response to the emergency. It would also allow the city to request help from the state's emergency operations center, which has already been activated. Howell says he is evaluating both those options on an hourly basis, but does not yet believe it's time to pull those triggers. At the time of this story, there were no confirmed positive cases of COVID-19 in the YK Delta. Also in tonight's meeting, the city council will consider filling the seat left vacant by former councilmember Fred Watson's resignation. Only one person sent in a letter of interest, Rose Sugar Henderson. Henderson says she was born in Seattle but raised in Bethel, where she served as a member and president of the Veterans of Foreign Wars Ladies Auxiliary. The city of Bethel is accepting written testimony for people to be heard. You must email them to cityclerk@cityofbethel by 4 p.m. today. There will also still be the option to attend in person. Council chambers will be limited to 10 people. Overflow will go into a waiting area, and if that fills up, people will be asked to wait in their cars. Tune in to tonight's Bethel City Council meeting, broadcast live on KYUK at 6:30 p.m. Next, in economy. Retailers in Bethel are taking steps to set aside special hours to allow elders and other vulnerable populations to shop by themselves because of the risk of contagion from the coronavirus. The steps are similar to those being taken in Anchorage. Swanson's grocery store in Bethel has set aside Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays from 10 to 11 a.m. and 9 to 10 p.m. for elders and customers with compromised immune systems only. Swanson's is also waiving the delivery fee for elders who order groceries totaling $50 or more. AC's main store is offering special hours for elders from 7 to 9 in the morning, and at the AC Quick Stop, the preferred elder hours are 10 to noon. Elders will have a special checkout line to reduce contact with others. Elders can also call AC's main store to order their groceries, and the store will deliver for free if possible. Elders can also stop by and pick up their goods. The number for AC orders is 543-2661. Elders can also make their order electronically by emailing store1135@northwest.ca. AC General Manager Walt Pickett says the company has made a commitment to not raise prices on products in any of its Alaskan stores for a month, with the exception of eggs, meat, and vegetables. Demand, he says, is so high on those goods that prices are out of the company's control. AC has an employee cleaning high-use area around the Bethel store continuously during operations to try to keep contagion from spreading. At Karina's Case Lot Groceries in Bethel, Christy Inman, the owner, was working to restock the shelves Monday to keep the tiny store open to customers. She says she does not foresee making any changes in the operations there. Next, in finance. The Alaska Senate passed the state budget today, including a $1,000 economic stimulus payment to everyone who received a permanent fund dividend last year. Wasilla Republican Senator Mike Schauer proposed the payment as an amendment to the state budget bill, and he says federal stimulus isn't certain.
I would love that we did not have to do something like this right now and that we could save the money moving forward. But again, we are betting on those things to happen while people are suffering right now. It's not a want. This is a need.
Senators intend for the payment to be made immediately after the bill passes. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman opposed the stimulus payment. He says Alaskans will have specific needs like food banks, housing, hospitals, and ambulances that would be better served with more targeted spending.
We have a limited amount of funds. We need to be targeted in how we allocate them so we don't see a COVID-19 virus flying by like a flock of ducks, and we grab our 12 gauge and just shoot in the air and hope something falls out.
The bill includes both the operating and capital budgets. If the House doesn't agree to the changes the Senate made, a conference committee will hash out the differences between the two versions. The stimulus payment would be drawn from the Alaska Permanent Fund's earnings reserve account. It would not follow a limit on spending from fund earnings passed in a 2018 state law. Next, in tribal corporations. The Chulista Corporation has closed its doors to all visitors to its offices in both Bethel and Anchorage. Chulista says it is operating remotely, and businesses are encouraged to use email to contact the people they've been working with in the corporation. Director of Corporate Communications Tom Leonard says shareholders can conduct most of their business at mychulista.com. Questions can be sent to shareholder@chelistacorp.com. Leonard says a corporation's staff has been reduced. That means it may take a little longer to get replies to your emails. Leonard says that they, quote, appreciate patience as we respond to emails as quickly as we can. Chelista is taking these actions in response to the coronavirus pandemic and the Anchorage Municipal Order to, quote, hunker down, which remains in effect until the end of the month. Meanwhile, the Kuskokwim Corporation also closes office doors in Anchorage to the public and will distribute its annual dividends early to offset the economic fallout from the coronavirus pandemic. Shareholders will begin receiving these dividends on April 10th, according to a TKC Facebook post. TKC's ANIAC office will remain open for, quote, essential business, according to another Facebook post, and shareholders will need to schedule an appointment beforehand. Next, in travel restrictions. The native village of Napakiak is the latest tribe to restrict travel to protect its residents against the coronavirus. The council is urging residents to only travel for health and legal reasons, has implemented a 9 p.m. curfew, closed the tribal office, ICWA, TANF, and IGAP offices to the public, and is only accepting planes carrying freight and mail and residents. The tribe has banned non-residents from flying into the village and is urging residents to check on elders and adhere to CDC guidelines about sanitizing homes. Other villages with travel restrictions include Stony River, Akiak, Tuntutuliak, Kwithluk, Kasigluk, Tuksuk Bay, Nunapichuk, Naposkiak, Nightmute, Emonik, and the Lower Yukon village of Grayling. Kasigluk requires any travelers coming in from Bethel to self-quarantine for 14 days. And finally, stay healthy, safe, and informed about COVID-19 with coffee at KYUK. Each weekday, KYUK will provide coronavirus updates from local organizations and community partners. Tune in Monday through Friday following the 8 a.m. newscast. Send your questions about COVID-19 to news@kyuk.org or through KYUK's Facebook page. Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukton coming up.